Let me get started. Okay, so I'm Zeb Khan, and it's a pleasure to meet you. Julia and Noel, meeting for the first time, and Royce and Jonathan, I've known Anatoly, I've just met. I really believe that this is a historic moment, although I don't have big plans that this is going to change your life radically anytime soon, but I think this is the start of something that could lead to something radical. With young Jewish professionals like yourselves downtown. And the idea for this came from a friend of mine who I knew in Jerusalem, and he actually came and spoke a couple of months ago, and the people that were most interested were the young professionals. So he gave me a whole set of his books, and I'm going to give you a copy right now. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to go through the book. But a lot of the work is going to take place outside of the class. What I just want to do is just introduce it to you. We'll share some ideas. And then there's one element which is going to be key to the success, and that is, I just want to discuss with you to see what's going to work for you, is to work together on this. Meaning you're not just going to take this home and then work on your own. We're going to work together, and that's what's let's turn our cell phones off. So a little bit of my background. From my accent, you can tell I'm not Native American. I grew up in South Africa, in a city called Port Elizabeth, went to University of Cape Town, studied actuarial science, and also played rugby, which is a big sport in South Africa. And my path to becoming a rabbi went through the Maccabi Games in Israel. I played rugby for South Africa in the Maccabi Games in 1985, and that was my first trip ever to Israel. It was an experience of a lifetime. We won the gold medal, came back, got interested in, you know, just Jewish activities on campus. And without going into the whole story, because that's not for now, I eventually moved to Israel in 1992, spent 6 years in Israel, became a rabbi, got married, two of my kids were born there. My wife's from Los Angeles, and I was looking for a sizable Jewish community which would meet the needs of my family, but would also give me an opportunity of doing outreach and giving back a little bit what had been given to me. So for the first 6 years, I worked for an organization called the Chicago Community Kollel in West Rogers Park, opposite the Arc. Then we spread out to the suburbs, and we opened up a place called Torah Learning Center, TLC of Northbrook. And then 3 years ago, I heard about a very exciting program that was being run on University of Michigan campus called the Maimonides Leaders Fellowship, which I can also tell you a little bit more about. And I decided to give it a try here in Chicago. It was such a success that I left TLC and I started my own organization called JET, Jewish Education Team. And for the last 2 years, I've been working almost exclusively on college campuses. There's so much to do. We're on almost every campus in Chicago. We just expanded to Champaign and Northern Illinois. So I hired a new person from LA, and so now there's two of us. We're looking actually to hire two new people. There's an enormous, enormous need out there, and so that's what my time is spent doing. However, I have a particular interest in this age group as well, because I think it's also a critical time in your lives, and so this is very, very exciting for me. And I believe that what comes out of here is not just going to stay with this group of five people. It's going to spread. And my plans are, just to give you an idea of what I'd like to do, is give you an introduction to what the soul diet is today. The next session will be to actually go through the seven steps in the soul diet. And then the third class will be to discuss follow-up. That'll be three classes. And then what I would like to do is, sometime in the new year, schedule a class like once a month to be like a follow-up. We'll look back over what happened over the month, but also learn some new stuff. And then what I'd like to do is, you know, do three more sessions for new people and bring those people into that monthly session. That's my goal. We'll see how it goes. Right now I'm focused on the five of you, and so what I want to do is give you each one of the books. Any questions? I do have some. I'm going to give you some stuff about JET and the magazine that we put out, so that we can also talk about afterwards. What I want to try and do is finish within about 45 minutes. So it's 8 o'clock now. So if we can I can have you out of here by 8:45, I'll be happy. And okay, so each of you just take a copy of this book. Any questions, Julia? No?
No.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're just going to jump right into it, and you're going to see why I believe that this could be a revolution. Okay, so what I want you to do is just turn to page 28, just to give you an overview again. I gave you a little overview, but just turn to page 28, and the rest you can read on your time, on your own time. Okay, so just look where it says in the middle of that page, where are we headed? We're now about to do our groundwork before we start the diet. In the following chapter, we will seek a definition of soul. We're going to talk about what is a soul. We'll discover that there are actually two types of soul operating simultaneously inside us, and that how we choose to deal with them determines our metaphysical health. Chapter 4, we're going to start the diet with a two-week media fast, or fast, as you guys would say. But if any of you don't understand my South African accent, I'll ask Royce to translate.
Next week I'll bring a translator.
Right. I resist strongly, you know, changing, calling tomatoes, tomatoes. And okay. Chapter 5, we'll be curtailing our schedules with a two-week schedule slimming. Both these steps are designed to give ourselves a respite or from the onslaught of imagery, ideas, and sound bites, preventing us from spending time with our own minds. As noted, they facilitate clearing the clutter clogging our souls. Okay, so that's what we get. Those two steps we're going to talk about today. And then, and a little bit of chapter 6. Chapter 6, when we are alone with our own thoughts, we will be introduced to a general ledger of the mind called the satellite map. This ledger enables us to commit to paper our successes and failures in dealing with our challenges. These challenges are categorized according to 7 general themes, each the subject of the succeeding chapters of this book. Reader spends a week focusing on each area of challenge. Chapter 7, reader will spend a week dealing with order and fitness. Chapter 8, we focus on anger control. Chapter 9, speech control. Chapter 10, the giving factor. Chapter 11, intimacy. Chapter 12, goal control. Chapter 13, the happy factor. And then the final chapter, the last paragraph, discusses our time after the soul diet, and that's what we'll talk about in the... Okay. So that's the overview. That's basically what we're going to do, and we'll see how it goes. This is very much an experiment. I've never done this before, never gone through this book with any group before, so I would very, very much appreciate any comments, you know, anything you agree, disagree. I mean, we chose this time of the morning because Royce thought this would be a good time, you know, for this group of people. We chose once every 2 weeks, we chose 3 classes. You know, this was all designed because we wanted to make it, you know, as accessible to you. But I want your feedback. If you think we're going too fast, too slow, you know, it's, you know, too basic, too advanced, just let me know, because one day when we look back, this will be the graduating class of Soul Diet number 1, or whatever you want it. This will be where it all started. Okay. All right. So just turn back now. Why a soul diet? Why do this book? What are you? Now, you all spoke about an interest in learning a little bit more, that you want a little bit more of a connection. And there's many kinds of classes and many kinds of things you can do, and you can read, you can go online. So why did I choose this particular program to do? So take a look right in the middle again of that page over there. The soul diet is going to expect you to let spirituality interfere with your life. You will no longer try to fit spirituality into your life. You will try to fit your life into spirituality. Okay, now that sounds a little ambitious, and also it might not mean anything at all. So just from the outset, I want you to know, and that's why I wanted to, instead of starting with this, why I wanted to show you what we're doing. This is a very, very practical program. Really, this is for any level of, you know, Jewish observance. In fact, it's even valuable to anyone at all, Jew, non-Jew, young, old. You know, I just think that if you are anything like me, and if I, you know, I can tell from speaking to Royce over the last, you know, a few months, and Jonathan as well, our schedules are so busy, we just don't get time to fit spirituality into our lives. But But this is a radical idea. What we're saying is we're not just going to try find 1 hour once every 2 weeks to fit spirituality into our schedule, like we fit, you know, working out or you know, going out, you know, to dinner or whatever it is. We're going to fit our lives into spirituality, and it's not such a massive task. It just takes a little bit of planning, a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of cooperation and help from other people, and you know, we'll see over the course of, by let's say this time next year when we come back and we look back and we say, well, how would we define the change in our lives in the last year? Would we say we fitted spirituality into our lives, or we fitted our life into spirituality? I'm going to hope we're going to say we fitted our life into spirituality. Now, again, we have to, what is spirituality? And he calls this book 10 Steps Towards Metaphysical Health. Now, what is metaphysical health exactly? So let's see what he says over here. He says, well, what exactly is metaphysical health?
Go ahead. Are you on 21?
I'm on 16, sorry. Did I say 21?
Well, we went to wise.
We didn't go as far back as you needed to.
Sorry. Go back to 16. I apologize, 16. Okay, so in the on the bottom over there on page 16, what is it exactly is metaphysical health? The process of eliminating clutter in order to make the right choices. Again, nothing Jewish in there. You know, and in fact, you're not going to see too much Jewish stuff in here. There are sources on the bottom. You'll see, for example, on the bottom of page 17, there's a note, Rabbi Yisrael Lipkin of Salant. In fact, that's worth just taking a look at that quote that he brings over there in a moment. So he is, all of this is based in Torah thought. All comes, you know, from a tradition passed down over 3,000 years, and a tradition of spiritual health or metaphysical health. Maybe those words weren't used back then, but it's being translated into the idiom of today. And basically the idea of this book is to give you the time to make the right choices that is going to help you fit your life into spirituality, not the other way around. That's what our goal is. Now, you might find that it's a little too much for you, even though, you know, the words again are not so Jewish, but it's a very Jewish concept that we're going to be learning about. And again, I don't want you to feel that I'm pushing you in any direction that you don't want to go yourself. This has to be self-driven. That's why I asked you why you're here, and I want to hear what your reasons are here. I think as time goes by, you know, you might be coming to this class for a different reason, but I want this to be self-motivated. And I'll be honest, a lot of these ideas I need to put into practice myself. My life is just as cluttered, you know, with, you know, things as yours are. And I also need time to start thinking. So this is good for me as well. Okay, so just I don't want to focus too much on what's wrong inside us. If you see, look on page 17 in the middle over there. It says, if there's something lacking or wrong inside us, it is near instinctual to ascribe this to outside factors. The reason I get angry often is because people provoke me. The reason I have this feeling, empty feeling inside, is because nobody or nothing around me inspires me. There are two approaches to this kind of work. One is looking at the more, I don't say negative, but the faults that we have, and one being more positive. So just look on the bottom page over there, bottom of the page. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the famous progenitor of an ethical movement called Musar, declared it more difficult to change one character trait than to learn the entire Talmud. Now, I'm learning the entire Talmud at the moment. I spend an hour every morning learning one page and just going over it very briefly, and it's exceptionally difficult. So I have got some idea of what this line means, and the idea is like this, that each of us has got a character trait or more, two or three character traits, that is holding us back from achieving our potential, our spiritual potential. And the goal of a soul diet, the goal of Jewish life, is to identify that character trait, and then to work on that character trait to fix it so that we are then able to achieve our spiritual potential. That in short is what the purpose of life is. I mean, I just gave a class the other day, and if we had more time, I would maybe I'll just have you think about it. You see on the bottom, number 8, I said homework. Like I said, this is going to take a bit of work from you. One of the things I'd like you to do between now and the next time is send me an email. What do you think the purpose of life is before you came into this class? I would have asked you this beforehand, but I don't want to get into a whole big discussion about the purpose of life. But what I want you to do is tell me what you think it is, if you know what it is, and maybe you'll tell me, where did you get that from? Where did you hear that? What brought you to think that? Now, Judaism, and it can be described in many different ways. Maybe some of you would have thought, Julia, if you asked an Orthodox rabbi, what is the purpose of life? You might have thought that he would say, well, it's to serve God and keep Shabbat and keep kosher and do all the laws and follow the Torah. That might be what you would have expected to hear. But Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is saying, in essence, that the goal of our lives is to improve our character, which is something that everybody can relate to. That you don't have to be religious to do that. And at the same time, if you are doing that, what you are doing is really being quote unquote religious, which I think is very empowering. What it means, it gives you a connection without you having to feel that you have to find it in a synagogue on the holy days, or because you've missed out and you don't speak the language and you don't really feel comfortable there and you don't have the time to go and you haven't found a rabbi, that means I'm cut off. The idea is you can live a... Now, I'm not going to... I have to make it very, very clear. You have to keep the Torah and you have to keep Shabbat and you have to keep kosher, all those things as well. That's the way we get there. That's the tradition that has been passed down to us. That's how we get there. However, this is something you can do 5 minutes after you walk out of this class. And you can do it on your way home. You can do it, tonight. You can do it, while you're skiing, in the mountains. Whatever you do, you can live a life of improving your character. And then that way you connect more to people like myself. You connect more to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was a great Torah giant, of all times, which is exciting. And then you go tell other people. You go tell other Jews out there. I mean, here we are in the center of Chicago. How many thousands of young Jewish people are downtown running around with clutter in their lives, not knowing that the purpose of life is to improve their character? And we're going to see, please God, what this is going to do for us. And then we're going to want to reach out to other people. You're going to want to give a class like this yourself. And hopefully next time we'll have standing room only in this room, and we'll have to move to Jonathan's big conference room. All right. Okay, so I hope I'm getting you excited about this, that you got up early this morning.
Yeah.
It's not just the coffee that's getting me excited. Okay. Now, okay, so again, we're jumping a little bit. You can read some more of this. He's got it in for the clutter that we have in our lives, and he's going to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. You can read about it. Just turn to page 33. All right, any questions, thoughts, Julia? Anatoly, you glad you came down here?
Of course.
You excited about this?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go. All right, Jonathan, good to have you.
I think it's like Jonathan having some structure. We often do things that are urgent but not important.
Right.
Right? And so making something, this is obviously important.
Right.
Just not urgent.
Right, exactly.
So we don't do it.
Right, exactly. That's
Yom Kippur. Or when it's Rosh Hashanah, or probably when you have a baby, or breasts, or whatever.
Right.
But it's nice to... I'm excited just to make
something
important.
It's going to be small little...
So we can,
it's going to be small little changes that are going to impact every little thing that you do in your life in a subtle way, and you're going to see people are going to turn around and say, Royce, what have you been doing lately? You're going to see. Okay. Right, middle of 33. there are actually two main types of souls inherent in a human being. So let me just ask you for a moment, because we haven't even, I guess I need to ask this question. How many of you believe that you have a soul? How many would say you've got a soul? You have a soul? You think you have a soul? Anatoly, you're not sure? You don't have a soul, or you do have a soul? Or you don't know?
I don't think there is a soul.
You don't think there is a soul? No. Okay, so we have to define...
Spirit, I don't think there's a soul.
You don't think that you think there's a spirit, but there's not a soul.
Right.
Okay, so the first thing I have to tell you is these words that we use, soul, spirit, are English words. They don't really describe what the Jewish view of life is. So the way I've heard it explained, when I talk to you, all right, or I talk to Royce, I'm not talking to the physical body, right? When God forbid somebody dies and that lifeless body is lying down. Right, that's that physical body that's there. But when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to something that's not just the skin and bones and the physical tissue. And I can't even see what it is that I'm talking to. When I see your facial features or the movement of, you know, your body language or the tone of your voice, you know, you can't really explain that. You can't really see it, and you certainly can't see the feelings and emotions inside. That's what we're referring to when we talk about a soul. But in Judaism, there's different levels of the soul. He's going to talk about two over here. There's actually seven levels, but we're going to focus on two. So look what he says over here. And sorry, one more thing. The way I heard it explained was not that we have a soul. It's not true to say that we have a soul. It's more correct to say that you are a soul. That's who you really are. And your soul inside a body. Your body is still very, very important. Without your body, you can't do anything. You can't communicate. You can't give charity. You can't run ultra marathons. You know, you can't do things without your body. But that's not who you are. Who you are is the soul. The body is the vehicle. Almost like a rider on a horse. Right? You need the horse is the body. The rider is the soul. So he says it like this. There are actually two main types of soul inherent in a human being. The first is the animal soul that is common to all living creatures. The second is the divine soul that is unique to human beings alone. The animal soul is called the nefesh. The divine soul is called the neshama. Have you ever heard those words before? Nefesh or neshama? Okay. The nefesh. The nefesh, the life force of the body, sustains it and enables it to function in the world. The instinctual drive to live, triggering necessary physiological responses, is thus called the animal soul, since it is no different than the living forces present in animals. A human's nefesh, however, is more advanced in terms of function and capability. Human's capacity for imagination, intelligence, and memory distinguishes him or her from other creatures. Yet, even if they appear to extend beyond it, these advanced capabilities are still a part of the human's animal side. So this, again, intelligence, imagination, memory are all part of the animal side of a human being. This is what animates us. But it's still the physical side. What we are going to be focusing on is the neshama. The neshama is an additional soul placed in people to give them the opportunity to connect with their spiritual roots. Right, that Judah spoke about connection. Suddenly the human is a dynamic entity in which the opportunity exists for spiritual advancement. Without the soul, it would be impossible to advance spiritually. Other creatures do not have the soul and thus do not have the opportunity to advance spiritually. In the process of creating the first human being, the Torah tells us that God blew into man's nostril the neshama of life. And the word neshama, if you look down at note number 6, the word for breath is neshima, which actually shares a grammatical root as the word neshama. So it says God blew the breath. This is what's so, this is another like tangent, which maybe we'll discuss, you know, in other classes, is that so much of our concept of spirituality is at best watered down into English, but we miss so much of it when we don't know the Hebrew. And here's a perfect example. When we say spirit or soul or God blew the breath of life, we don't really understand what that means. I mean, it's hard to understand what it means that God blew, you know, what does that mean? But when we hear that he blew the breath, and that word is neshima, and that's connected to the word neshama, what that means is that there's a part of God inside of us. That's what it really means. Part of God's breath is inside of us. That's our neshama. which also is very empowering, very ennobling, that we are capable of such greatness. Why? Not because we've got greater intelligence, or, you know, we can build skyscrapers, or, you know, and we, you know, can master the universe, but we've got a part of God inside of us. That's really what makes us great. That's what separates us. The neshama yearns for spiritual fulfillment achieved through the human's unique challenge of making the right choices in life. Okay, so we've mentioned this now twice, now making the right choices in life. I spoke about fixing up the character. Okay, so again, everything comes back to the same root. It's all going to be understood in, you know, in the same way, but it just might be expressed in different ways. So when you fix up your character, you start making the right choices about your life. Just the same way as in your physical life, when you're exercising and you're going to a nutritionist, you're going to make the right choices, you know, whether to have a whole wheat bagel or to have the, you know, the Danish, you know, or whether you, you know, you're going to work out, or whether you're going to watch, you know, Grey's Anatomy, you know. That's making the right choices in the physical world. When you fix up your character traits, you start making the right choices in your spiritual life as well. Okay. So now, last paragraph on page 35. And then I'll take some questions before we go into step number one. What we are speaking about now is the ideal. The ideal is that the conflict is there, that it's clearly defined, and that the correct path is just as clear. Okay, so I'm skipping some stuff which you're going to go through, but basically he says, life is a series of challenges. I don't really think I need to spell that out to any of you. We are faced with challenges every day, from the moment we wake up till we go to sleep, and throughout our week, throughout our lives. But that is what life is about. And the goal is not to avoid challenges. The goal is not to not have challenges in our life. Our goal is to face those challenges and make the right choices when those challenges face us. That's exactly, you know, that's exactly what it's all about.
It's like Musser.
Right.
That's what Musser
is. Right. What Royce is saying is, we've spoken a little bit about this idea. We heard this word Musar before. This is really a deep Jewish tradition that goes way back, but was popularized in the 1800s. And this is what I would almost call Musar light. If we advance, we go further, you know, depending on where the group wants to take it, we could get into deeper stuff. But that's really what this is. I just found out the other day, Anatoly's from Ukraine. The word Musar in Russian means garbage. Right?
Musar.
Which is quite interesting, you know. So when I was teaching some, you know, students in on campus, they started laughing when I mentioned the word. But it actually ties in with what we're saying over here. What Musar is doing is trying to clear out the garbage in our lives so we can make the right choices. Okay, so most of us are so clouded by images and bombarded by ideologies, both subtle and overt, that we are layered by excesses. We cannot see through to recognize and delineate the conflict, let alone the resolution. That is why we need to go on the soul diet. We need to remove all the obstacles, clean the slate of all the junk, so that we can take a good look at ourselves. We need a few moments, days, or even weeks alone with our exposed core to determine where our conflicts lie. Once we've achieved that level of clarity, we can build again, not by getting rid of the conflicts, but by having clarity on the right choices. Gaining this clarity is the emphasis, because as noted, there is no happiness like the resolution of doubt. It's a famous line in the Talmud. There's no happiness, just remember that line, there's no happiness like the resolution of doubt. In the context of what we're talking about, meaning you're faced with a challenge, a real challenge, and when you know what to choose, that's what's going to bring you happiness. That's what's going to bring you ultimate happiness. Now, happiness is not, there is a level of happiness when you achieve, you know, the goal line. But the real deep happiness is when you're faced with the right choice and you know what choice to make. It brings enormous, enormous happiness. Okay, are you ready, Julia, to do step number one in the soul diet? What do you think? Were you expecting anything like this?
I really have no idea what to do.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Okay, so. Now, Jonathan, what do you think? I haven't heard from you yet.
Really?
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So now the next two steps are pretty dramatic, and so this is what I want to discuss with you over the next 2 weeks. I think we're going to try and meet in 2 weeks' time. We're going to experiment. We're going to see what we can actually achieve in these next two steps, and I want feedback from you to see how we succeeded. So now we have to think of a way of either setting up a Facebook group or sending out emails or phoning each other. I mean, the ideal really would be just to phone each other. We want to spend less time sending emails and on the internet. But if that's the most convenient way, we can talk about it. Basically, the two steps are, and again, it goes into quite a lot of detail, is to limit the media that you're exposed to. And the second one is to slim down your schedule. Find things in your day that you just do not have to do and just clear them out. Those are the two things we're going to try to do over the next 2 weeks. It doesn't mean cutting it out altogether, but it means making small steps. So look on page 49, and he goes, the reason I'm jumping so far is that he goes through, and you'll read it, and I don't think now is the place also to talk about what damage the media or overexposure to the media does for us. And I'm not just talking about what is the content of that media. I'm just talking about the volume. Just that alone just prevents us from spending time on our spiritual lives. So look on page 49, bottom of page 49. So what exactly do you mean by a media fast? Practically, this entails restricting your intake of media systems for a period of 2 weeks. In general, ready for this? You will not permit yourself to watch any television, go to movies, read newspapers or magazines, listen to talk show radio, and browse the internet. The only exception, as outlined above, is if you absolutely need and not want to know information that only the media could provide for you. Obviously, if you have you own an online business, you're not going to be able to take hiatus from your entire operation for 2 weeks, but it behooves you to scrutinize your intentions. Be totally honest with yourself, because it's only you who will lose out. That's a little bit of a challenge. So I'm not expecting you again walk out the door, say, okay, you know, that's it. No internet, no movies, no email, except for what I absolutely have to answer for the next 2 weeks. Because as you're going to see, when it says by withdrawal symptoms, you go too fast, too quick, you're just going to say, forget about it. You know, I'll be lucky if I have Royce here in 2 weeks' time. You know, you're going to say, this is, you know, just not for me, you know. So any success you have in this area over the next 2 weeks is more than what you would have done if you hadn't come here today. Any success. And if over the next 2 weeks, all you do, right, is you don't watch one episode of, you know, one TV, not even your favorite, watch your favorite TV show, but your second or your third favorite TV show, your third one episode you don't watch over the next 2 weeks, that is a success. That means you've achieved something. And the same with the next step. Let's just combine these two. Although, I'm going to show you how much time, what's the time? 8:35?
15 minutes.
We got to, even though he says that the ideal is to go 2 weeks on the media fast, 2 weeks on the schedule slimming, then start step number one, we're going to try to do the two together. And again, this is an experiment. We'll see how it goes. So just turn to page 56. Just looking for where it is, sorry. Okay, in the about the third paragraph down where it says, I'm not going to tell you to slow down. I'm going to tell you to gasp, stop for a while. The world does enough spinning. You don't have to spin two. Stop, take a break for 2 weeks. I know you have to go to work, you have to do carpool, you have to go shopping for food, but you don't have to be the chairperson of the book club. school sports committee, the fundraising committee. You do not have to go to retreats or conventions, to launching parties for new galleries, to networking, at luncheons, to Carnival Day on the Peninsula, to open-air symphonies downtown. Here we go. For a period of 2 weeks, you will be asked to keep a bare-bones schedule of that which is necessary. Anything beyond that should either be cancelled or postponed. It will enable you to taste a unique quietness, one that will facilitate a proper methodical attempt to build yourself up the right way. Now, obviously, if you've got something scheduled over the next 2 weeks, it's hard, you know, to cancel those things. But again, let's just see what happens. If you cancel one thing that you didn't need to go to, then it's a success. Now, again, there's a purpose for doing this. We're not just doing this so that we've got quiet time or that we're not exposed. There's a goal, and that goal is to free our lives up so we can do some introspection, find that one character trait or two or three that we need to work on, and then start working on it. Why do we want to do that? So we can make successful choices, which is going to bring us happiness. And we go along that path for long enough, we make mostly right choices, some wrong choices. At the end of the year, the end of 10 years, 20 years, you're going to look back at a life where it's no longer just fitting spirituality into part of your day, it's fitting your life into spirituality. Okay. Yes, Jonathan, go for it.
So, I have a question. So,
yes.
I understand the mechanism to
right.
begin, as you said, so we can, you know, kind of take a little bit of a evaluation of our time spent on internet and
yes.
media and being bombarded, and we can reduce the unnecessary meetings and
yes.
events. Great. So we do that, and that's pretty straightforward. I can say I can accept that and do that. Can we spend some time in the next 9 minutes saying, okay, now that we're sitting around with nothing to do
yes.
and our life is completely
correct.
Free,
what's next?
What do we do?
Okay,
I feel like if I left without having
yes.
that answer, then
well, that's why you're going to take this book home with you, and you can, and I'll show you where
right.
to look for what we're going to do. But before we do that, I'm going to turn right to the back of the book. Actually, no, one more page before we go to the back. Actually, no, let's go to the back first. Just go to page 151. 152, 53.
It's interesting that he would say that to avoid all those things in your life, because I think we're all natural multitaskers.
Right.
So I mean, if you wanna work, I don't know, get Bloomberg News. I mean, you drive the car, you wanna NPR. And so you always wanna have that intake of information. So it's a good point. What do you
mm-hmm.
do with it?
Yeah.
What do you
gonna
do with that time?
Car,
right. So that's okay.
Well,
so what you know?
Worry about what happens when I go home and. You know, it's the only time I spend with my wife right now is sitting on the couch watching TV.
Right.
Turn off the TV. And
right. Okay, so what do we do with that time? That's what the middle part of this book is, but I'm going to show you how we're going to achieve that first of all. So on 153, he has a schedule. Say starting, 153, do you have it?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically the first 14 days are the media fast, and the schedule slimming starts on day 4. We said we're going to maybe try even start the schedule slimming day 1. So when we meet in 2 weeks' time, we'll have done 2 weeks of both. Then you spend a week on each of the 7 areas where we are going to look at character traits and try and improve them. And then after that, we're going to follow up and we're going to read. Now you've seen, you know, many programs like this have the same kind of idea. Get ready, you know, do the steps and then, you know, follow up. So those things have worked. The reason why a lot of people go to them is these things do work, but again, they take some help. This is the critical part, what we're about to do right now. If you turn to now page, just over after page 156, there's a fold out. Just after page 156 is a fold out. You see that? Called the satellite map. And you can take time looking at this. So, John, if you want to ask, what are we going to do after those 2 weeks? What we're basically going to do is we're going to set up a system of checking every day our successes in different areas. And just keep your head, if you look, just follow that back again. If you look what he's done, is he's actually given you sheets that you can cut out or you can photocopy yourself, where you'll actually fill it in for yourself. You see what he's done over there? Mm-hmm. After it. Okay, so if you take, that's a little bit small, but if you, let's see if he's done this. If you go, let's look at page 96. Just, it's a little bit bigger and you can get a better idea. Or, number 96, anger control. So, this is one of the areas we're going to talk about. So you write, and we're going to discuss these areas in the next session, subcategories, anger, geography, self-worship, blinkered vision, self-righteous protest. Those are the areas that lead to anger. And then you're going to write something personal about yourself. I get very annoyed when all, bless you, and all I get is everyone's answering machines. And then you have day one observations all the way through day seven, where you have a check if you had a success and a cross if you did something that you weren't happy with. So now you're going to have something in front of you every week where you're going to see your successes and your failures. But we can't jump into that. We need to just free ourselves, unclutter our lives a little bit, so we can actually spend some time thinking about what it is that we're going to work on. So if you do have tons and tons of time, then
read the book.
You can read up to page 58, or page, I would say, page 60, basically up to about page 68 would be one. That we're going to start next time on page 69. But look on the middle page 59, and yes, this is the homework that I want you to do. Besides, you were in the room, I want you to just write, tell me, I mean, I've just told you what the purpose of life is, but if you can think back before you came to this class, what you thought the purpose of life was and where you got that from. Now you might be interested to know where you found, where that came from. But look in the middle of that paragraph. Start thinking about yourself. Not what you did today or mundane facts about yourself. Rather, how would you describe your personality? How would you define your character strengths? How would you define your character flaws? What things interest you? What things trouble you or cause you pain? What are your goals in life? Are you achieving them? What is your ideal situation? This exercise is best captured on paper. Sit down and write one paragraph about yourself without pausing. And that's not something that you need to show to anyone. Maybe your wife you'll show it to. Oh, your husband. Are you married yet? Yeah? Okay. So if you have time, that's what I would have you spend some time doing. And that might not take so much time. Maybe you'll tell me after 2 weeks what it was that you did with that time. You know, I've got a feeling there's not going to be that much time, extra time you're going to have. It's not going to be so easy to cut out. I look at my schedule, I print out, I mean, I work with Outlook and my day is full. I'm not really wasting so much of my time. You know, but when I look at it, there are probably things that I can cut out, and there's probably more time that I can spend just thinking about this. You try find a few minutes each day, any time of the day, where you can just think back on the last day, the last 24 hours. Just I one of the ulterior motives I have for doing this class is that I can do this myself. This was one of the goals I set at Yom Kippur, was that every night, that's what the ledger is really. This is the key to the success of this program, is that at the end of each day you're supposed to go back over your day and look at the things that you did. End of each week you go back over the week. But I just haven't found the time to do it. So now if I can get you guys to do it, then I have to do it myself because I'm the teacher. If I'm not doing it myself, how can I get my students to do it? You know. So that's what I would say. I'd be interested to see, because like I said, we've never done this before. It's an experiment. We're going to This is the first media fast and slimming schedule that has ever taken place in Chicago. And you guys are about to do it. All right, it's 8:45. Any questions? I've spoken a lot. Really, my ideal would be to hear more from you. I think when we meet next time, I think I'm going to hear a lot more from you guys.
One suggestion I would make, it's funny.
Yes,
I just came off a week in Milwaukee where we did something like this, funny, everything starts in the Torah and then it's secularized and then people write books. Stephen Covey, I don't know if you guys know who that is, writes the same thing. There's three constants in life, but there's change, right? All these things, obstacles coming at us, that we have a core. That's what our neshama is.
Right,
and then we have to make decisions. So understanding what our core is allows us in the future to see obstacles and get through them easily. We're all going to go back to our office and this is going to get set aside. We're going to forget about it. In Milwaukee, they said use some objects. I just thought if we all carried a rubber band in our pocket and you're going to reach in for your change, it's going to remind us, hey, take a minute today. Or did we read through the chapter? Did we make a list of that paragraph?
Rubber band, that's a great idea.
So just something simple like that that we target, and maybe that's something to use, you know, it's a reminder. Because our nefesh, I think, controls our daily life. And our
neshama
controls when we're sitting in the room and we're thinking globally about our life. But as soon as we're back out in the real world, our nefesh is what's reading and reacting. So if we can put the two in conjunction, maybe the rubber band might be one area to do that. So we're always thinking about...
I like that idea. Now, this is what I want to ask, and we'll end with this. I mean, you're welcome to stay longer, but I think Noel's got...
I'm good.
You're good. So, in the ideal situation would be that I would partner you up with one other person, and we would call each other either once a week or once every couple of days, or email each other. Did you succeed in your media fast? Did you succeed in your schedule slimming today? Or, you know, and where did you succeed? You know, that's really the ideal. Now, I don't know if you want to try that, or if you want to try something else. You want to maybe do it as a group that, you know, at the end of the week, I send the five of you an email. Send me your successes this week. But then you might have forgotten, you know, what you're doing on the Monday. Maybe I send you an email every day at the end of the day, and you, whatever you send in, you know, at the end of the week, I'll send back. I'll say, Anatoly, you know, he sent me this note, and Jonathan sent me this note. What are your thoughts, Royce? You probably got a little bit more experience than me. How do we want to come back in 2 weeks' time with as many check marks as we can, so that we're positive that this is something we can take.
Are we filling out that schedule beginning day one, or was that?
We don't. You don't have to fill out anything.
Was that for the first time, like in 2 weeks out when we're starting?
Right, when we start,
step, that's when we're filling out.
When we start in 2 weeks' time, we're going to go, we're going to fill out one of these ourselves. Just this part and this part, that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
For maybe a couple of trades, we'll see, we'll decide if we're going to do one. They say one a week, we might do two or three. Or choose one, whichever one you want to do. But the first 2 weeks is just media fast, schedule slimming, thinking what's important in your life, writing something down, seeing what... you know, you're doing with all your extra time. But my question to you now is, how do we do that? How do we share our successes with each other? Jonathan, what do you think? I mean, Noel, what do you think?
Unfortunately, it's probably one of the things I need to cut out, but, right before I go to bed, the last thing I do is check my email one more time.
Okay.
You know, probably need to cut that out, but I was thinking, it's easy enough, pick up the BlackBerry and send you an email every night.
Right.
And just say what I did and what I didn't. That goes back to what I need to stop doing.
Okay, so wait. So maybe that could be. Let's come up with a couple of options. One is a rubber band. Two is email Zev at the end of each day on your successes. Let's leave it at that.
How about failures? No email.
Well, we're saying. We are at a position of failure right now, meaning we're overburdened with the media. Our schedules are overburdened. That's the default. What we want to do is we want to cut out some media. We want to cut out some of our schedule.
You keep a note or a Word document on your own, and then that can be distributed on a weekly basis.
Excellent. Okay, that's another good idea. So
a Word doc
that distribute end of the week, so Friday afternoon or Sunday morning, some Friday afternoon. Shabbat just starts earlier now with the time change, so I might have to do Friday morning, Thursday night, or Sunday morning. Okay, so those are three other. You said a blog. You may put. I mean, create something online. Create something online, and then we'll all just post it online. Our success is whenever.
I think, for me personally, on two levels. One, if we're trying to reduce the amount of time on the internet and
yes.
with stuff that's burdening us, this should not be something that's a homework assignment. A burden should be something that we're doing at our leisure to, you know. And also, you know, depending on people's comfort levels, I happen to be a fairly shy, introverted person. I don't necessarily, you know, on a daily basis need to share my...
Right.
This is for, like, personally.
Excellent. Okay, so the so then what I would suggest you do then is share it with your husband. Because this is just the time-proven method, is doing it with someone else. Doing it on your own, unless you're very, very self-motivated and very disciplined, it normally doesn't work. I know, you know, I can speak from experience, you know, that definitely, you definitely are more successful. So I'm going to say number, so each kind of number a different way. Five is, you know, keep, you know, let's say diary or, you know, for yourself. And then you'll just come in 2 weeks' time and you say, you know, I had 10 successes the first week and I had 5 successes the next week. And we'll see how it goes. So look, let's not make any prescriptive, you know, program right now. You choose whatever you want. This is soul diet number one. You the guinea pigs. We're going to see what works. Maybe all five work. All right, so obviously we would love to work it out that all five of us can be at the next one, so we can share success and then we can just, you know, take it further. So I think we did set a date for the next one.
Yeah. Did we?
I think it's 2 weeks.
Okay.